I think this is wishful thinking on Jimmy Dore's part. He thinks we've reached the end of Russiagate. He thinks we can finally lay it to rest. Frauds like Nicole Wallace and Rachel Maddow can finally be discredited and ignored, right? All of the comfy people who watch their shows are gonna wake up now and stop believing Russiagate propaganda, right? Maybe they'll all start watching Jimmy Dore instead. Anyway, as it turns out, Olga, a 40-year-old Russian public relations executive, was the one who fed us a lot of the garbage. She made it all up, folks. The most damning parts of the Steele dossier were made up by Olga.
Fake dossier, the phony dossier.
So there's Trump in November of 2018 telling you the dossier is phony. Because guess what? It was phony. Guess who figured that out? Jimmy Dore, pothead in his garage, figured that out 3 years ago. I figured out where it came from. Guess who didn't? That's MSNBC's host. George Bush's former press secretary is now a host on MSNBC with Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow. Someone from the Bush administration has their own show. And this is what she said about the Steele dossier.
Maybe dirty, but it ain't fake. That's the president's line, though, on the infamous dossier. But how much longer will he keep saying that? Well, the dossier on its face is still considered an unverified document compiled by British intelligence officer Christopher Steele based on raw intelligence. To date, none of it has been disproven, and whole big parts of it are holding up a special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation.
No, it's been disproven, and none of it's holding up.
It's all disproven.
Here she goes. Nicole Wallace quips Putin must have lots of pee tapes for the GOP to push the Kremlin. That's from 2019.
MSNBC loves her so much, Jimmy, they now have given her a two-hour show.
A two-hour show?
2 hours.
There she is. This is in 2019. That's from December 2019. That's from last December. She's still saying this.
I guess I just wasn't curious enough about the pee tapes, but I went ahead and looked it up, and it's all a bunch of baloney. You can look it up if you're curious.
The MSNBC host responded to conservative commentator Charlie Sykes, who says he's mystified by Republican lawmakers parroting Russian propaganda. Hey, stop repeating conspiracies, said the person who's speculating about a pee tape. She's literally talking about a pee tape of the president that doesn't exist. Do you see who these people are? She lies for torturers and war criminals, and now she lies against them. Whoever's paying her salary is what she'll do. Hey, Nicole Wallace says Mueller had some significant breakthroughs. Idea of Trump in jail, not incomprehensible. You know, his significant breakthrough should have been I'm wasting everybody's time. But where did the Steele dossier actually come from, Nicole Wallace and every asshole who pushed this? Well, it turns out, I love this. So the Steele dossier that kicked off 4 years of Russiagate hysteria among the U.S. ruling class was cooked up by two Russian alcoholics.
Mostly I wanted you to hear what Jimmy Dore had to say about Nicole Wallace. Similar stuff to what he says about Rachel Maddow. If you're listening to these people on the regular, you need to stop. They are working directly for our plutocrat owners. They don't love you. So here's the Wall Street Journal news exclusive. Russian in Cyprus was behind key parts of discredited dossier on Trump. In case you didn't hear, the Steele dossier was discredited. And the vaunted Mueller report is what discredited it. This article is by Alan Cullison in Washington and David Gauthier Villars in Istanbul. In the nearly 4 years since they were published, many of the unverified allegations about President Trump compiled by former British spy Christopher Steele have been widely discredited, including by special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. election. Yet the source of some of the most critical allegations in that dossier and how they reached Mr. Steele have remained a mystery. A Wall Street Journal investigation provides an answer. A 40-year-old Russian public relations executive named Olga Galkina fed notes to a friend and former schoolmate who worked for Mr. Steele. The journal relied on interviews, law enforcement records, declassified documents, and the identification of Ms. Galkina by a former top U.S. national security official. In 2016, Ms. Galkina was working in Cyprus at an affiliate of XBT Holding, S.A., a web services company best known for its Webzilla internet hosting unit. XBT is owned by Russian internet entrepreneur Alexei Gubarev. That summer, she received a request from an employee of Mr. Steele to help unearth potentially compromising information on then-presidential candidate Donald Trump's links to Russia, according to people familiar with the matter. Ms. Galkina was friends with the employee, Igor Danchenko, since their school days in Perm, a Russian provincial city near the Ural Mountains. Ms. Galkina was the source, for instance, of the dossier's contention that Webzilla played a central role in the 2016 hacking of the Democratic National Committee, according to people familiar with the matter. The release of emails stolen from the Democratic Party leadership roiled the presidential campaign. Ms. Galkina also was responsible for the mention of Mr. Gubarev in the dossier as a hacking expert recruited under duress by Russian security services, these people said. Likewise, she was behind the dossier's assertion that Mr. Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, and Russian intelligence officials held a secret meeting in Prague in the summer of 2016 to discuss how to pay the hackers and cover up their work, the people said. Messier, Cohen, Gubarev, and others have long since denied taking part in the activities described in the dossier. Contacted by the journal, Ms. Galkina acknowledged receiving a reporter's written questions, but didn't respond to them. While contributing to the dossier, the people familiar with the matter said, Ms. Galkina was in a messy dispute with her employer, Webzilla's parent company. A law graduate who spoke five languages and had worked in Russia in a variety of industries, according to an online resume, and a person who worked with her, she appeared qualified for the job. But in August 2016, less than 10 months after her arrival in Cyprus, Ms. Galkina's employer took steps to fire her. Relations soured to the point where her manager went to authorities in the Cypriot city of Limassol in November of that year and filed a statement with the police. According to the statement, which was reviewed by the journal, Ms. Galkina was chronically showing up late to work, sometimes appearing drunk. The manager told police that an acquaintance of Ms. Galkina had told him he would face deep trouble, including possible death, unless he paid 10,000 euros, $11,740, in compensation, according to the statement, which was confirmed by a Cypriot official and a person who attended its recording. Because the manager never filed a formal complaint, the matter was dropped, the official said. In November 2016, Ms. Galkina was fired. Weeks later, she implicated Webzilla and Mr. Gubarev in the hacking, according to people familiar with the matter. All these people familiar with the matter, I wonder if they have names. I wonder who their employers are. Mr. Trump has said the dossier was part of a broader attempt to sully his reputation, referring broadly to information about Russian interference in the 2016 election as a hoax, because it was a hoax. Mr. Mueller's investigation found that the hacking of the DNC was directed by the Kremlin in a bid to benefit Mr. Trump. Mr. Mueller's investigators obtained a related indictment of 12 Russian military intelligence officers, as well as guilty pleas or convictions against several former aides and associates to Mr. Trump for lying to investigators or separate financial crimes. The investigation didn't establish a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian government, which has repeatedly denied interfering in U.S. elections. The Mueller report presented no evidence the purported Prague meeting ever happened. Alleged attendees have denied they had anything to do with the hacking or met in the Czech capital. Mr. Gubarev, Webzilla, and XBT have denied any involvement in the hacking. Mr. Danchenko, the Russian national who conducted research for Mr. Steele's dossier, was identified publicly for the first time this past summer after the Trump administration declassified documents from a Federal Bureau of Investigation probe into the report's origins. In 3 days of interviews with the FBI in early 2017, as the agency tried to determine the origin of the dossier, Mr. Danchenko said he had been working for Mr. Steele as a researcher, according to the declassified documents. With the approach of U.S. elections in 2016, Mr. Danchenko told the FBI Mr. Steele asked him for information about Mr. Trump's ties to Russia. Mr. Danchenko told the FBI that the task was outside the normal scope of work and it wasn't completely comfortable for him. To find such information on Mr. Trump, he turned to his social circle in Russia, according to declassified FBI notes of the meeting. Mr. Danchenko told the FBI that a school friend, referred to in heavily redacted FBI notes as Source 3, had provided him with information for Mr. Steele across a wide range of topics and stood as the dossier's most important contributor. The former high-ranking U.S. national security official told the Wall Street Journal that the source in question was Ms. Galkina. Mr. Danchenko, in a statement released by his attorney, said he wouldn't confirm or deny information concerning his sources or methods. I have a long-standing relationship with most of my sources and have no reason to believe that any of them fabricated information that was given to me, Mr. Danchenko said. More importantly, I have yet to see anything credible that indicates that the raw intelligence I collected was inaccurate. Acquaintances of Mr. Danchenko said he and Ms. Galkina had been friends since high school in Perm. In his FBI interview, Mr. Danchenko said he knew Ms. Galkina since the equivalent of eighth grade and that she had remained a close personal friend who he had helped financially over the years. Mr. Danchenko told FBI investigators that Ms. Galkina, who had held a variety of jobs in government and the private sector in Russia over the years, had a vast network of people she could talk to, including some with connections to the Kremlin, and had helped him gather information in the past, according to the declassified notes. According to Mr. Danchenko's FBI interview and FBI notes, Mr. Steele gave him 4 to 5 names of officials in Mr. Trump's circle to research, which he passed along to Ms. Galkina in the fall of 2016. Almost immediately, she recognized the name of Mr. Trump's lawyer, Mr. Cohen, according to the declassified notes. Ms. Galkina's initial version of alleged contacts between Mr. Cohen and the Russian government was sketchy, and she could identify few of the people involved, according to the declassified notes. In mid-October, Ms. Galkina reported that Mr. Cohen had met with Kremlin officials that summer in an undisclosed European country where they discussed ways to minimize the appearance of contacts between Mr. Trump's aides and Russia, the FBI notes said. In December, Ms. Galkina gave Mr. Danchenko new details about Mr. Cohen's purported meeting and implicated her erstwhile boss, Mr. Gubarev, in the DNC hacking, the notes said. Mr. Cohen denied in an appearance before Congress in 2019 that he had ever been to Prague or that he had anything to do with the 2016 hacking of the Democrats. The dossier also alleged that another individual, Seva Kapsugovich, was involved with Mr. Gubarev in the hacking. A man bearing the same name was a notorious convict in Perm, Ms. Galkina's Russian hometown, where a court in 2013 sentenced him to more than 18 years in prison on sexual crime charges. He couldn't be reached for comment. The dossier, which consists of reports dated between June and December 2016, sprang from an effort initially commissioned by conservative Republican opponents of Mr. Trump during the presidential primaries and was later continued by Democrats, including the campaign of candidate Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Mr. Steele was hired by Fusion GPS, a business intelligence research firm in Washington. The journal in January 2017 was first to report that Mr. Steele was the author of the dossier. This is getting hilarious. Mr. Steele, who has said the dossier wasn't meant for public consumption through an associate, declined to comment. Of course it wasn't meant for public consumption. It was just meant to smear Trump. The dossier was published by BuzzFeed News in January 2017. Other news outlets, including The Journal, subsequently published articles describing some of the allegations and making clear that they were unverified. Oh yeah, Nicole Wallace made it very clear that they were unverified. This next paragraph, dear viewers and listeners, is something Mr. Gubarev and I have in common. We both have been screwed by U.S. federal judges. Mr. Gubarev sued BuzzFeed in the U.S., where a judge dismissed the case, saying that the dossier had become a government record that the publication couldn't be held liable for, even if it was incorrect. Motherfucker. I wonder if I know this judge. Mr. Gubarev has filed a libel lawsuit against Mr. Steele in the U.K. Mr. Gubarev declined to comment, citing the pending litigation. BuzzFeed's editor-in-chief at the time, Ben Smith, said the ruling was a vindication of the publication's work. I'm sure he did. The FBI in July 2016 launched an investigation into any links between the Trump campaign and Russian interference in the election based on intelligence it had received overseas. Later, acting on a request from former Attorney General Jeff Sessions and complaints by members of Congress, the Justice Department's Inspector General reviewed the FBI's actions in starting the Russia probe, and last year reported it found serious performance failures in the FBI's conduct in a portion of that investigation that relied on the dossier. Ding, ding, ding. The review found that the FBI had reason to open its overall probe and found no evidence that political bias influenced the FBI's decisions. The probe of the ties to Russia was handed to Mr. Mueller in May 2017. I hope, dear viewers and listeners, you're getting better and better at sniffing out fake news. If it says FBI, if it says CIA, if it says Congress, if it says congressional probe, if it says federal court, it's fake news. It's propaganda. They're all working for the same people. They're all the stenographers and mouthpieces of the oligarchy. FBI Director Christopher Wray has introduced a series of reforms, including changes to the FBI's Confidential Human Source Program, under which Mr. Steele provided information to the FBI. I'm sure that's going to help them clean up their act. The declassified FBI notes indicate U.S. federal agents distrusted Mr. Steele's source network. But they still reported it, they still leaked it, and it still got onto the news with Rachel Maddow and Nicole Wallace night after night. I don't know about you, but I'm just delighted that Nicole Wallace gets 2 hours now instead of 1 hour to blow smoke up our asses. And at the end of the article, they attribute credit to Nona Fomenko in Moscow, who contributed to this article. I don't know if you've noticed, but all of this stuff is still twisted around. Look at the article's title when it was on the print edition of the Wall Street Journal. They called it, Russian Fed Steals File on Trump. They're still trying to blame Russia. It doesn't say, disgruntled alcoholic Russian Fed Steals File on Trump. It doesn't say, disgruntled former employee Fed Steals File on Trump. So even though this report came from the Wall Street Journal, it's still slippery and it's still slimy and it still has to keep passing the sniff test. There isn't any source of information, including this one, where you don't have to sniff and figure out where the agenda is. The best we mere mortals can do is just reveal as best we can what our agendas are, and then you have to decide what you think. We have to stop blindly swallowing all of the information that's given to us. And if it comes from an oligarch-funded news source, we all have to say, hey, this is probably fake news. The worst part is that it isn't all fake. You have to sniff through and figure out what's true, what's not true, what's omitted, and what's being spun in a particular way. There just isn't any simple way to get your news anymore and be able to rely on it. When people say, oh, you found that on YouTube, it must be wrong. It doesn't mean it's wrong, it doesn't mean it's right, it just means we all have to just keep looking. But one thing is that if it's on YouTube, it might not be funded by the oligarchs. A lot of my viewers and listeners have noted that a lot of the supposed independent media still seem to be funded by someone. Cenk Uygur is funded by Jeffrey Katzenberg, who also funds Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Some on my comments have even said that Jeffrey has influence through Cenk of other lefty pundits that we've all thought all along are independent. You know the people I'm talking about. All the fresh-faced young people on their own channels on YouTube who seem to say whatever Cenk wants them to say, whether or not he's actually communicating to them. And of course I'm saying all this because a Russian agent is paying me to, right? Yeah, I think Jimmy Dore's assessment that we're done with Russiagate is wishful thinking at best.